And good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome in, everyone, to Morning Invest on this Tuesday, September 28th. I've got a cord hanging out of my head. Good to see everybody. We've got a very busy show for you today. We're going to be talking about the very latest with the debt ceiling, as that looks like we are heading for a cliff in just a few days. They love to wait till the very end to get these things done, but maybe they won't even get it done because there's no clear direction on exactly how this is going to happen. So will the government be shutting down essential services during a pandemic? Glorious. We'll also look at the stimulus this morning, and Nancy Pelosi did a roundabout sort of middle finger to progressives last night. I mean, total reversal of where she was before, basically saying, hey, you know that $3.5 trillion stimulus package that all you progressives want? Yeah, well, we don't need to worry about that right now. We just want to get the roads and bridges piece done because it's a big handout to big businesses. So we'll look at that. And you ever wonder, well, like, why workers in other countries are actually doing pretty well against the United States? Why workers in the United States just get walked all over? Well, we're going to look at a case study this morning, pretty remarkable data from McDonald's workers in other countries. And wow, they don't need to work three jobs, just one. And they've got health care and they're taken care of. They get a good salary. So
that just sounds like laziness to me.
Yeah, you should be working three jobs like we do in America, barely able to make ends meet.
I mean, what do they do with that remaining like 8 to 10 hours of their day?
I know. What are they, taking care of family? What are you, resting, you lazy sacks?
Jeez.
So we're looking at that on the show today. That's the voice of Philip, our producer.
Phillip, good morning. Today.
How you doing?
Doing well.
David is out with some sort of strep throat or something. He should be back. He should be back tomorrow, we think. We don't know. But it's not COVID. Guess who got COVID, though, in my family? My five-year-old.
Oh, no.
So I had it, right? I got over it. I thought, like I said, it was harrowing. Like, I got it the worst. I thought I was going to die. It was bad. But, hey, I got better. And, yes, I was vaccinated, like, back in June. My wife, we think, got it about 2 weeks ago, and then I got it from her. But we never had a when we all went to go get tested, she came back negative, but we think she had already gone through it. So today she went to go get a blood test, and so did my 9-year-old, went to go get a blood test. But my son had it, I had it. And then yesterday I'm sitting there doing some work, and all of a sudden they had gone to get their tests, to get the follow-up tests. They come home and they're like, you're not going to believe it. Eve has COVID. I'm like, what? 5-year-old. So now we got to keep her separated from the other kid. It's just a nightmare. God.
Oh, man.
Fun times. Fun times. And it's like, you wonder how many of us probably, or how many kids probably had it, you know, asymptomatically. I mean, she's not showing any symptoms at all. You know, no coughing. She's got like a little slight runny nose, but that's it, you know? Kids metabolize it so much better, you know?
Yeah, I mean, at least that, you know, like, because there are some strains of viruses that go around that it's the exact opposite, so.
Yeah.
At least kids are mostly safe from this one.
Yeah, it's crazy. Of course, you know, then they have to send the whole bubble from school home, so our three kids have been home now for like a week and a half. They're doing their remote schooling while the rest of the kids are in class, or at least some of them, depending on the class. So all her kindergarten classmates are there, you know, learning sight words, and they're starting to learn to read. And so she's been home, and my wife is doing the job of trying to be kindergarten teacher right now, you know. Not easy. Not easy. So, yeah, just crazy. And then now, of course, we're heading into flu season, cough season. So it's going to be a weird time to, like, to check everyone, too, you know, on top of that. So. But I can tell you, though, just like taking a walk this morning with Grover, like, I don't sweat when I walk, you know, like, unless it's like a blazingly hot day or something, but I don't usually sweat. You know, I'm not one of those people that like have just drenched in a shirt. Since COVID, man, the past 2 days, just taking like a 2-mile walk, I've come back with like sweating. You know, it's like my body is not back in 100% shape yet. That's for sure. He's like, what's wrong with you, man? Falling apart.
I think he's had that same exact pose for the last 2 months.
Mm-hmm. He might, yeah.
that's his observer. live on camera pose right there.
He was playing with another dog this morning, running around like crazy. So he was a little exhausted. All right, let's get to it. We're going to start the show now. I'd like to welcome everyone in, let alerts go out, because that's what happens with YouTube here. Like, you know, we start the show, then YouTube sends out their alerts. Do you guys all get your alerts? Does YouTube send you? You have to turn on the little bell notification. Do you get those alerts on time? That's what happens, is that these YouTube alerts get sent out too late sometimes. So I just want to make sure everyone in the chat got your alerts. Good morning, Crystal Lee. Good to see you. Lisa Pettit is here. Matthew Bracey, good morning. Debbie Howard. James Cantonese. Is it Cantonese or Cantonese? Dog can get COVID. Ours had it. James says his dog had COVID. Jesus.
Yeah, it is possible. Lisa Pettit had said earlier that David doesn't sound so good, and then she found out it was me. But I still think that's kind of funny, because that would imply that I sound like sick David. That's who I am.
Sick David. Or what did you describe yourself as? Discount Dave?
Discount David.
Right. Discount David. Sergio Martinez.
I'm the David you get when you can't afford the real David.
Or you pay a little and you get actually more, maybe, than you do with David. Yeah, you never know, right?
Yeah. He's definitely more talkative than I am in general.
Dennis Jared is here. Debbie Howard is here. Tina C. Wendy King. Hippie Soul. Good to see all of our people in our chat today. We just flipped on members only chat.
Yes, I did. Sneaky all in right. The background.
All right, let's do it. A show time. I'm going to pull this up here. Right, that's set. Make sure this is good. All right. On today's show, it is Tuesday, September 28th. Welcome into Morning Invest. On today's show, Nancy Pelosi tells progressives to go pound sand and moves forward without a vote on the $3.5 trillion human interest piece of the stimulus plan, the part of the plan that I'm the most interested in all of this. And the mainstream media clearly doesn't want a new stimulus package, and they are lying right to the American people. Let me show you a couple of different examples of the mainstream media lying right to the American people. They are happy to say that we cannot afford the $3.5 trillion, and they're pulling out all the stops to make sure that you are brainwashed. And American workers are treated like dog crap by big corporations. So how do we fix it? Well, one country just showed us how it's possible. You know what? To go on strike and actually demand better pay, and corporations forced to make changes as a result of workers basically saying, we're not going to take it anymore. Let's get uncomfortable. Morning Invest starts right now. And good morning, everyone. Welcome into Morning Invest. I'm Clayton Morris, longtime journalist. I spent 20 years or so in the belly of the mainstream media, but I got out. I got out a number of years ago. It's amazing to watch how the mainstream media just lies, continues a narrative to try to get you to follow along. But thankfully, you subscribe to this show, which is not bought and sold by billionaire corporations. So thank you so much for your support, whether you're subscribed or whether you're a channel member. You can do any number of things. We also have a daily newsletter, which we had about 100 of you subscribe yesterday to the daily newsletter, which is great. It's totally free. We write it every morning. We put a lot of hard work into the newsletter. All you need to do is go to morninginvest.com and sign up, and the newsletter will be delivered to your inbox first thing in the morning around 6:30 or so Eastern time. So you can read it over your cup of coffee. I saw one of our viewers this morning, bright and early, saying that she was making her cup of coffee and about to sit down with the newsletter. So that makes me very, very happy. Again, go to morninginvest.com, sign up for free. You'll get a welcome email. And tomorrow morning, when we send out our Wednesday edition of the newsletter, you will get it first thing in the morning. Sunshine Speaks in our chat says, I love your smile, Clayton. Well, that is very, very kind of you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, Chris,
I
Moore
like
had
your
a,
smile.
Got a $5 super chat. Any chance Philip could be more a part of the show? Appreciate his opinions on things. And I think it would be nice to have a third element. I appreciate that compliment. I do.
Thank you so much. That's great. That is absolutely great. So keeping our eye on what's going on in the markets. The markets are not very happy because they're basically, the stock market down overall, but that's because U.S. Treasuries are, we got some good economic data yesterday, and U.S. Treasuries actually doing pretty well. So stock market doesn't like when U.S. bond yields go up. So the U.S. Treasury is actually doing good, but some concerns over inflation data, and we could be, as the market's really seeing, like we're heading back into like a reopening period, according to the market. Like, and we may end up, I'm sure you guys probably at home may have already started to notice this, but some concerns over supply chain issues again. So I've been hearing, again, there's like toilet paper missing again. Costco, other, like they're saying they're running out of toilet paper. Who needs this much toilet paper? I just don't understand. Like, you know, what about a bidet? Or like, do you really, I just don't understand. Like who really needs that much toilet paper? I don't know. I don't get it. I just can't figure that out. Anyway, we got a lot to get to on the show today. Let's start this morning with the debt debate. So the Republicans voted down yesterday the bill to raise the debt ceiling to fund the government past Friday. So Thursday night at midnight, folks, government done. Debt ceiling reached. Government shut down through this weekend. I mean, this was expected that the Republicans were going to do this, but now the clock is ticking before all hell breaks loose. So the bottom line is the United States does not have enough money to pay its debts, and they need to borrow more money in order to pay debts that we were already committed to in the past. Don't let anyone lie to you, like Senator Pat Toomey was trying to do yesterday, and we debunked that right here on the show. But these are debts that we owe from the past. In fact, most of them last year, when President Trump was president of the United States and Republicans were running the Senate. These were debt obligations that they signed off on then. Now it's time to make good on those debts. And Republicans, including Mitch McConnell, said, nope, we're not voting for it. How, in what world could we do that? Like, can you imagine just going to the store? I mean, I guess you could. You could do it with a credit card, right? Like, go to the store and buy like a PlayStation. And then when the bill comes from your Visa card, just be like, I'm not paying that. See how long you have until, you know, you get a collections sent to you and then possibly a default judgment sent to you and then have your credit destroyed. The government, you can't do that, but the government can do it.
Do you think the government gets like then the daily phone calls from somebody trying to collect on that debt?
Yeah. Is Mitch McConnell there? We're trying to reach Mitch McConnell. Oh, is this Mitch? Mitch, this is Visa. I don't know if you know or are aware, but you've got about $3,000 in outstanding debt, Mr. McConnell.
We're like, what, like 3 trillion calls?
Of course, if they call the U.S. government, that's like trying to call the IRS. Like, good luck trying to get through, right? Yeah. They'll just be so frustrated. They're like, I'm just going to write off this debt. I can't even get a hold of anyone at the IRS to get my money back. They call awkwardly during dinner. Like Nancy Pelosi's like cutting steak. It's like, oh, it's those damn debt collectors again. It's Russia. It's China, who we owe all these debt obligations to. They're calling right in the middle of dinner.
Trying to call their family members. Hey, have you seen Nancy? Trying to get a hold of Nancy.
We're trying to get trying to get Nancy on the phone. She probably wouldn't recognize my name. I'm with J&J Debt Collection. Anyway, the problem is there's a legal limit to how much the debt that the country can actually take on, and that will be reached by October 1st. So Democrats in the House Senate of Representatives passed a bill that increases that limit, but the Senate did not. Mitch McConnell said, nope. The bill needed 60 votes. in the Senate to pass, but only 48 received. Only 48 voted for it. Democrats may have to break the bill into pieces. And by the way, isn't it interesting that only 48 voted for it? So you literally have Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin, Democrats, who will not, he couldn't even get them to the 50 threshold vote limit. Democrats may have to break the bill into pieces now in order to try to have a chance on all of this. The current bill includes short-term spending that would fund the government through December of this year and a debt increase through December of next year. The logic is that breaking these into two bills might have a give it a better chance. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says that he would support something like that. Oh, that's great. So I would support something like that. Once again, these are debt obligations from previous years that are now due. And, you know, if you're sitting back saying, hey, why should we pay China? China is a very small portion of this. Most of our debt obligations go to institutions in the United States, fellow Americans who have given money to the federal government so that they'll be paid back. And it's U.S. banks. It's other institutions. It's not China. A very small percentage of it is international debt. So what does this mean if we absolutely default? First of all, we default. That would mean that our obligations to pay other people would now come into question, and we wouldn't do it. And therefore, who's going to lend us money if we don't pay it back? Right? You know, it's like watching Better Call Saul, and like, you know, the guy shows up at the place to give money to Nacho, you know, and he's like, here's the money. It's a little light this week. Here's some money. It's a little short. And then he gets the crap kicked out of him. You know, like that's what happens in Better Call Saul. What happens in the real world, though, is that guess what? People stop letting the government borrow money. And now the full faith and credit of the United States government is called into question. And the U.S. dollar as reserve currency of the world goes out the window. And what then becomes, what fills that vacuum? Is it the Chinese yuan? Gold? Bitcoin? Something else? You know, what becomes the global reserve currency if the United States can't fulfill its debt obligations? I don't know. But that's where we are. So now, and there's no, I should be clear, there's no clear timeline on what this looks like for Nancy Pelosi. Like there is no, you know, there is no, hey, we have a clear roadmap here. But again, these are things that under President Trump, these are things that he signed off on. These are things that Republicans supported. And now they're not paying their debts and they're voting against it, playing politics and chicken with our federal government. I got to say, you know, this hits my family close to home. My brother-in-law, who is in a branch of the military in the NOAA Corps, you know, if they shut down, very often they're considered non-essential. Meanwhile, this is like the branch of the military that is responsible for National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration. So all of like our hurricane data and everything, like they were the ones that were pinpointing Hurricane Ida as it was about to slam into the East Coast. Like their data, they are considered like non-essential. So then they don't get paid. He has three kids, just all get shut down. But thousands and thousands of federal employees under that same situation during a pandemic. During a pandemic. And then not to, like, and then what is deemed essential? Because there's a lot of things that are often not deemed essential that we might now under a pandemic think, yeah, we pretty much need that stuff. Are they going to pick and choose that stuff? That's how we do it. Sylvia Guild became a channel member. Thank you so much, Sylvia, for becoming a channel member. So that's where we are on the debt ceiling. We've got more news to get to. And again, we'll see if they can get some sort of a roadmap in place. But when you only have 48 Democrats have voted for it, I mean, it's not exactly a 50-vote consensus that you think you'd have, and then having like a tie-breaking vote with Kamala Harris. Not happening.
Well, I mean, isn't that where the money going directly to Kyrsten Sinema was going anyway? Was in an attempt to de-link these two things so that so that the construction companies and stuff like that, like all of that money can be made off the physical infrastructure, but then all of the stuff that goes to the American people, which may cost taxes to corporations, you know, they wanted that to be linked. So
funny how that all happens. I mean, you know, as we were talking about yesterday, but now new reporting this morning. So the Kyrsten Sinema comes through yet again for Big Pharma. We'll get to, we'll talk about Kyrsten Sinema and her big money and all of the dark money that's been pouring into these campaigns to try to make sure that we don't get a stimulus and that big businesses don't pay more in taxes and that you don't pay less in prescription drugs. That's how these fraudulent members of Congress do it. We'll get to that in a moment. First, I want to tell you about, I got to tell you something, you know, with having me having COVID over the past 2 weeks, something that really, really helped me tremendously because I was so dehydrated. I've been telling you about Liquid IV for a number of months, and I got to tell you, this was a lifesaver for me. Basically, it takes, you know, it triples the amount of hydration that you would get from like a normal glass of water. So if when you're in a full, you know, flu season, proper hydration and vitamins can help support a strong immune system. So I would take one stick, a little packet right there, and drop it in 16 ounces of water, and it hydrates faster and more efficiently than water alone. So they've got like summer flavors. They've got stuff that you can go on their website and see what they have, what kind of flavors speak to you. I actually love, they had a pina colada one. So good. It has 5 essential vitamins, more vitamin C than an orange, as much potassium as a banana, healthier than all those sugary sports drinks. There's no artificial flavors, no preservatives, less sugar than an apple. It's made with all clean ingredients, non-GMO, vegan, and free of gluten, dairy, and soy. One stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates faster and more efficiently than water does. And they've donated over 11 million servings globally to food banks, veterans, active military, first responders, hospitals, to really help people get back and get some of that hydration. I even recommended, David ordered, I think, some of the sleep multiplier because he has trouble sleeping. But you can do it like after a workout or heck, you know, if you're sick. So for me, having COVID, I was so dehydrated. I just could not. And so this truly helped me. I was for like one solid week, I was taking Liquid IV every morning to give me that boost. So thank you to them for helping me get over that. So again, go to liquidiv.com and use code INVEST at checkout. That's 20, and you get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com, use code INVEST at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order when you get better hydration today using promo code INVEST at liquidiv.com. You can also get them at Walmart and Costco. You can stock up and get big boxes of it or just have it shipped right to your house with that discount. So our thanks to them for supporting the show and helping me get back to being healthy. At least as healthy as I am right now.
I might look into that sleep multiplier.
Yeah, and it's all natural too, which is great. Brian Cody says, does Clayton know where he got COVID-19? I don't know. I really don't. I don't. You know, we had a bunch of our American friends came and had a wedding that we went to. But almost everyone there was vaccinated. And then those who weren't had to get, even to come into the wedding, had to show and take a test right then and show negative to even get in. So I don't know. And everyone was wearing masks and stuff. So I don't know. And I sat next to, at the dinner, I sat next to the vaccinated person, but the person across from him wasn't vaccinated. So who knows, you know? And then it could have gotten from our kids at school, you know, who knows? Cause they're like asymptomatic, or you could have just got it from like a doorknob somewhere, you know, like you just don't know that with this stuff, you know, it's airborne, it's particulates. So who the heck knows, you know? Who the heck knows? But it was weird, man. It was just weird being off and the show being shut down for not only for the week that YouTube blocked us for telling the truth about a story, and then YouTube decided to block us. And then during that week, I thought, I'm going to build up the studio. I'm going to do so much work, you know, like Step Brothers, like Will Ferrell and what's his name were like, I'm going to get so many activities done, you know? And then I just got hit, was like, bonk, like a freight train of COVID. And I was out. So I didn't get crap done. It's bad. Yeah,
I didn't know what to do with myself. I'm not used to not having 1,000 things to do. not making your situation all about me, but
yeah, I didn't have shows to edit, the videos to edit, anything. Yeah. I was like nothing to do. It was just down. Becky Medved says YouTube needs to refund us 1 week of membership. Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. I wish we had something to do with the membership. It's all on the YouTube back end. But yeah, they blocked us for a week, those sons of bees. You know, it's amazing. You see some of these other channels like the Dark Horse Podcast and some other channels that, you know, they report information and it goes against what the CDC is currently saying at the moment, even though these are like molecular biologists, doctors, etc. And then they get taken down, like the social media takes them down. And then guess what? The CDC reverses their position, right? And then, but there's no like, sorry, we wish we could have like, you know, we could remove that strike from your channel and all this stuff. They don't do that stuff. And you just got to live with this crap on your channel, you know?
They wouldn't go back on it because that'd be admitting that they made a mistake. And who does that?
Yeah. Jonathan Stewart says, is the show still under surveillance? See, the thing is, John, they just use AI. They just scan. They use artificial intelligence, computers, to scan content. And if there's like phrases or words that they don't like, that's why I don't swear on the show. Because if I swear, then even just one swear word, they will put us in a separate category that gives us less views. Like it just goes out to fewer people. So I just don't swear. Like I'm from Philly. I like swearing to get my point across sometimes. I just don't do it on this show for that very reason. And so they just scan it using artificial intelligence. And that's what they did. They scanned our show. They gave us a warning. And then because we had uploaded a shorter version of that story, they flagged us and then gave us a strike, even though it never went public. It was set as a premiere. And I've appealed it, talked to them, and they just basically didn't do anything to help me. I'm like, but it never went live. No one ever saw the video. It was set as a premiere and you flagged it and then gave us a strike. I would have never allowed it to go public once I got a chance to go through my email inbox and see that there was a warning.
And the thing about that is when you upload to YouTube, so it's like when you upload the video, it scans the video, but it didn't say anything. It doesn't warn you before you attempt to publish. So they wait until it's basically like there is no warning. There is only punishment.
Right. Well, it's like, oh, hey, we noticed that this video has a phrase in it that we object to. You may not want to consider publishing it because we'll give you a strike. Oh, okay. Well, then maybe I won't publish it. Right. And by the way, they don't even tell you what was offensive. That's the thing. Like you can now there have been YouTubers who've actually sued YouTube and won. Because they're so vague, they don't tell you what it is or what is inaccurate or misinformation here. Can you prove this? There's pretty loud people that kind of do that. I just don't have a stomach for that. I just don't, you know.
Well, I'm pretty sure I know what the phrase was they didn't like. And it wasn't the V word, it was the I word.
Perhaps. Yeah. Yeah, could be. Hey, Joe Rogan, you know, it's the thing. It's like, I guess it depends on, you know, so CNN can do it. We can't, yep. You know, that's the kind of garbage. Like mainstream media channels can do this crap. Anyway, enough about that. We got more news to get to. Let's talk about the stimulus now. And yes, I did title this Pelosi's middle finger because that's exactly what Nancy did yesterday. It looks like Nancy Pelosi is giving a middle finger to progressives and plans to move forward with a vote on the bipartisan infrastructure bill without moving forward with the $3.5 trillion plan. Now, this is something the progressives flat out refuse to do. So let's just spend a second here, rewinding the clock. Let's get in the DeLorean and the flux capacitor and go back in time to last night and where lawmakers left off last night, trying to advance President Joe Biden's agenda. So where we stand right now, Nancy Pelosi went into a meeting, okay? Nancy Pelosi went into a meeting with her caucus last night. And very oddly, she was in the Capitol building, in the basement, not too far from this room here, where the press room. And she met with Democrats, and she asked her rank-and-file Democrats to rally around President Biden's legislative agenda plans. Then suddenly, there was this stunning reversal of her previous public comments. Pelosi said House Democrats can no longer wait until a reconciliation package is approved, or even the outlines of the mammoth $3.5 trillion package are settled, before we vote on the $1 trillion infrastructure bill. It's a huge shift for Pelosi. It's a total turnaround of her position that the two bills were directly linked together. That was her position. And now it presents her with a huge challenge from progressives. I mean, think about this. This was the calling card, right? This was the plan, that these two bills will be linked together. The only way progressives, I'm talking AOC and Pramaya Jayapal and Cori Bush and others, said the only way we're going to vote for this, bipartisan roads and bridges, big wet kiss to big businesses bill, is if this one over here that takes care of families, elder care, child care, climate, all of those things, is also tied together so that they're being voted on simultaneously. Now she changes course. What happened? What in the world happened? So now instead we get this, you know, the infrastructure piece. So the roads and bridges piece. And we absolutely now know, like, this is a huge wet kiss to fossil fuel industries and others. Because the reason that Democrats and Republicans were so buddy-buddy about this whole thing is because, and we called it right here on the show, right? We predicted it. Anybody, show of hands, how many people here in the chat have been watching this show for 5 months or longer? Let me know in the chat. Just say, yes, I've been here 5 months or longer. I've said it right here on the show. The only reason that this was a bipartisan move and they were all on board together and they were all happy is because there were so many wet kisses in this thing for lobbyists. And it was filled with pork for big businesses. Look at all these people. Longer than 5 months. Yeah, Jackie. Look, I love that. Gene, Todd. That's awesome.
I missed the string to put it up there, but there was about just a rapid fire 50 people saying, yep, yes, yes.
But I mean, I said that right here on the show, which is that the only reason they were all buddy-buddy, you know, and all of these people were out there bipartisan, shaking hands, glad handing each other, is because all of it was just going, it was money to all of these big businesses that have been making money from Washington for years. And yes, maybe some bridges will be fixed in the process, but it was not going to help climate. It was not going to reduce carbon emissions. It was going to be just very, it was a big, big, big wet kiss to the fossil fuel industry, et cetera. And don't take my word for it. Just look at Representative Peter DeFazio on the Senate infrastructure bill. He's the House Transportation Chair. He had some fighting words yesterday. He said the crap written by those 12 rump senators, meaning the bipartisan senators, who are all pro-fossil fuel, actually, he says, does virtually nothing to reduce fossil fuel pollution from transportation. So I'm trying to fix that in the reconciliation package. Okay, but the problem is now, Mr. DeFazio, like if this thing gets decoupled, then who wins in this, right? It's the fossil fuel senators. It's the Joe Manchins who are making money off of, you know, off of fossil fuels, who continue to have their pockets lined by all of these billionaire corporations. Make no mistake about it. This bipartisan $1 trillion roads and bridges bill is full of giveaways to big businesses and the fossil fuel industry. Huge. You know, and if you look at when DeFazio then follows up with this, he says, he's specifically talking about the BIF, which is the bipartisan infrastructure bill. He says, they basically took out all of our climate provisions. They took my electric bus program and they cut it. And then they said, oh, and a third of the money has to be spent on fossil fuel buses. I mean, they're such jerks. The industry could have written their bill. Just think about that. So his climate provision was an electric bus program for inner cities, right? This, you know those gas guzzling. Have you ever been stuck behind a bus where it just coughs like a huge black cloud out in your face? We've all been there, right? So imagine having more clean energy buses that are just electric. They don't do any of that, and they're quieter. And he says, oh, and they cut that program, these fossil fuel senators. And a third of the money now has to be spent on fossil fuel buses. Like, that's the kind of crap that Joe Manchin sticks into these bills. Several dozen progressives have declared that they won't vote for the infrastructure bill until the $3.5 trillion reconciliation is passed by the Senate or some ironclad deal is hashed out by party leaders. But Pelosi is now saying, you got to change your view on this. Sorry, you got to support the infrastructure bill anyway, the roads and bridges bill. Saying that the events of the last few weeks have made clear that the House, the Senate, the White House negotiations on the reconciliation package aren't far enough along yet to justify us not getting this thing done. So basically, she's blaming it in many ways on herself, right? So the negotiations, the framework of the $3.5 trillion package isn't far enough along yet. So we're just going to table that for now, and then we're just going to move on to the crappy bipartisan infrastructure bill that's a big wet kiss to fossil fuel industry.
If they're going to split it, if they're going to delink this stuff, they need to delink it, not splitting it like they usually do, where they're splitting it where like special interests make money, and then special interests would have to pay money and split it that way. Split it like randomly. You know, like we'll keep the same amount, but sorry, fossil fuels aren't going to happen until the next one. So we get some social infrastructure and some not physical infrastructure. Not going to happen.
No way. No way. No way. You know, I mean, this is like what happened in March of 2020 when they passed the first stimulus bill. The reason everyone was on board, Mitch McConnell and Republicans and Trump and Democrats, it all came together at the same time, is because it was all just a big giveaway to Wall Street. And a little stimulus check in there. But it was huge, trillions of dollars for Wall Street. That's why everyone got on board so quickly. And then when they were going to advance some things on the Medicaid side and helping people on the healthcare side, that got totally tabled and sidelined. And Nancy Pelosi had said at the time, oh, we'll get to that later. Never got to it.
Still so haven't.
It's like deja vu all over again, right? It's the same thing happening. And that's why progressives have said, there's no way. Like, we're not going to separate these anymore. We got burned the last time. AOC was asked about this. She says, no way. Absolutely not. Here's AOC in an Ask Me Anything about this.
Yes, nothing would give me more pleasure than to tank a billionaire dark money fossil fuel Exxon lobbyist drafted energy infrastructure bill if they come after our child care and climate priorities.
So she's ready to tank the whole thing. She's like, nope, sorry, not going to vote for it. Let's see. Let's see if they stick to their guns. There's a number of progressives said, I am not voting for this. I'm not going to vote for the infrastructure package to give this big wet kiss to Exxon and all these other companies. And then you're going to table our $3.5 trillion plan? Let's listen to it again.
Yes, nothing would give me more pleasure than to...
By the way, she's answering the question, are progressive caucus members prepared to vote no on the bipartisan infrastructure package without the budget bill?
Tank a billionaire dark money fossil fuel Exxon lobbyist drafted energy infrastructure bill if they come after our child care and climate priorities.
FL2396 says, is she saying that the way to her Exxon fueled private jet? I don't know that she has a private jet, but
yeah, I really don't think she's making private jet money.
No, but she, there's definitely been some definite hypocrisy on her side. I'm in the framing of this conversation around this vote, I'm presenting her side. Here's what Pelosi said. Let me quote her. Pelosi says, quote, but here's the thing. I told all of you that we wouldn't go to the BIF, the Bipartisan Infrastructure Framework, until we had the reconciliation bill, she says, passed by the Senate. We were right on schedule to do all of that until 10 days ago, a week ago, when I heard the news that the number had come down, Pelosi told Democrats, end quote. So she said, we had to accommodate the changes that were being necessitated. And she said, we cannot be ready to say until the Senate passed the bill, we can't do the bipartisan infrastructure. So, but that makes no sense, because for what it's worth, it was clear that the top line number, that $3.5 trillion for the reconciliation package, would have to come down more than 10 days ago. Because Senator Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona said that back in July. And Joe Manchin, also from West Virginia, signaled the same thing in August, that they wouldn't go along with that $3.5 trillion plan. We heard Monday night from multiple reports in Pelosi's leadership circle that the speaker can't do this alone. Pelosi's going to need President Biden. He's going to need Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer to push Manchin, to push Sinema, to negotiate on that top line number. Especially Biden, because without that, Pelosi can't make any significant headway with progressives on this, since that number is going to drive many policy decisions inside the legislative package itself. So, you know, as it stands right now, this is where we are with the mainstream media. This is where we are with the package, the legislative package itself right now. You know, and I love, too, that Joe Manchin came out on this number yesterday. Manchin yesterday was asked about the $3.5 trillion number, and he said, you know, we're just concerned about entitlement mentality versus rewarding mentality, and then taking care of those who really can't take care of themselves. There's so much good stuff in this bill that we're still working diligently. So just to recap what Joe Manchin said, we're just concerned about the entitlement mentality versus rewarding mentality. Okay, so the entitlement mentality. So what is the entitlement mentality? Taking care of children? Taking care of families? Lowering prescription drug costs? What is the entitlement mentality? I can't stand when people say entitlement. First of all, Social Security is not an entitlement, although Republicans would like you to believe it is. You pay into a system. It's in order to protect our future generations, right? So they have a safety net. It's not an entitlement. As if you're so entitled. As if Americans are so entitled. They work three minimum wage jobs and still can't make ends meet. You're so entitled. Screw you, Manchin.
I mean, that's coming from tax money. And it's saying like we pay our taxes. Corporations don't pay taxes. The regular people pay all the taxes, and then if anything is scheduled to come back to help regular people out, that's entitlement.
Right. You're an entitled. You're just entitled. Ula Hula in our chat, Ula Hula, like Ula Hula, says, entitlement? Manchin should look in the mirror. Yeah, exactly. And my friend Crystal Ball, who I've known for years, love Crystal, she says, the dude whose daughter got a fake MBA, now he's referring to Manchin, the dude whose daughter got a fake MBA and millions in a golden parachute from the gig that daddy got her, wants to tell us about an entitlement mentality. Yeah, exactly, right? I mean, talk about nepotism, right? Like lining up these like fossil fuel jobs, getting a fake MBA, getting a golden parachute, you know, retirement package. How many other people have access to that kind of stuff? And then, by the way, he continues to be paid by the fossil fuel industry. Wonder why? Wonder why any of this stuff is, why we're having such difficulty passing a package that would help you. Surprise. We're going to look at the mainstream media lying. And Meghan McCain. I don't know. Did you catch Meghan McCain on Meet the Press this weekend? Holy smokes.
Like, no, I didn't.
Oh, my God. Like, who's calling her up? Hey, we need someone to give us some real perspective on the stimulus package. Let's call up Meghan McCain from The View. What did she ever do? She had a famous dad? Talk about nepotism, right? Like, okay. Let's get her on the show and spew some total garbage. So we'll talk about the mainstream media and how the mainstream media is going out of its way, bending over backwards right now to try to keep you from getting a stimulus package that would actually help children, elder care, lower prescription drug prices, etc., because they're all paid by all of these pharmaceutical companies. I challenge you. No, I don't challenge you. I don't want you to do this. But God forbid you watch like CNN this afternoon or MSNBC or any of the other mainstream media channels this afternoon. I challenge you to go one or two commercial breaks without seeing a prescription drug commercial in your mid-afternoon television programming, because they're paying all of these mainstream media channels, big pharma, et cetera. So we'll get to that in a moment. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Manscaped. So Manscaped doesn't spend money on those types of channels. They spend money here. They support independent journalism. And you should support Manscaped. That's why I love these guys. The right tools for the job. You know, a number of years ago, before I knew what I was doing, you know, when I was a young man, I had some trimming problems. Philip, I'm sure you did too. Maybe you still do. If you have some trimming problems, you know, man.
Yeah, I don't.
Manscaping. Trim. Yeah, you've had some issues? Have you drawn blood?
A couple times.
Yeah, see? Well, that's the thing. That's where Manscaped comes in, right? The Performance Package 4.0 by Manscaped is the ultimate parlay to take your grooming game to the next level. They have their new performance package. It's their fourth generation performance package. And when you use their Lawnmower 4.0 on your own body, across the board, you're going to be making sure that you're not going to have any more blood issues, right? You're ready to take the leap to male grooming royalty. 2 million men have already joined Manscaped's movement by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with the code INVEST. Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade. I love it because you can just wash it right off. So I was trimming my sideburns yesterday with it also. It's got a little light on there. Skin safe technology, so you don't have to worry about trimming your ear off. And cleaned it up right in the water. All clean, ready to go. And by the way, I haven't charged this thing in months. Almost a year, I feel like. Like,
wow.
Yeah, it lasts so long. So it's got 4,000 LED spotlight on and off when you need for a more precise shave, and it's waterproof. The Lawnmower 4.0 has you covered for all of your shaving needs.
I might actually have to upgrade because I've still got a wall plug-in beard trimmer that I've had for 20 years.
No, time to upgrade with their wireless charging system. Put it right in the little thing and it charges. You don't even need to plug it in. Just got to take care of it. It's waterproof. Look at that. Fantastic. And it comes, you ought to get their weed whacker as well for your nose trimming. Anyway, get their performance package. Comes together with all of that stuff. So you get 20% off and free shipping with code INVEST at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with code INVEST at manscaped.com. Fellas, don't gamble on shaving yourself with the wrong tools. Choose Manscaped. Your balls will thank you.
I love that.
I like their tagline. I would. That's a company like, you know, you can think of like companies you'd like to work at. Can you imagine like every day you get to go into that company? They've got such a great sense of humor and they're like, you come up with like their tagline. Like I got a new tagline. They're like, we love it. Good job.
I wonder if showing up with a shaggy beard though is grounds for termination there.
They'd be like, hey, you know what? We got to come into the conference room. We got a little something we want you to try.
Got to talk about that beard.
We're going to talk about your long David Letterman beard. All right, let's talk about, we got more news. Let's talk about the mainstream media and the lies that they continue to perpetrate on the American people. You know, it's been interesting to watch over the past month and a half to 2 months, watching CNBC, Fox Business, you name it, Bloomberg, etc. And all the talking points have really shifted towards, well, we should pass the bipartisan infrastructure bill, you know, the big wet kiss to Wall Street. But that $3.5 trillion thing, that's like a big, you know, that's a big, big Biden socialist program that's just going to give money away. It's all full of entitlements. It's, you know, we can't afford that. How are we going to pay for that? That's been the talking points, right? And it's also around the idea that we can't raise taxes. We can't possibly raise taxes also as part of this bill. Businesses are hurting, right? Even though Wall Street profits are off the charts and they're not paying anything in taxes. But heaven forbid we should actually raise taxes even just a few points, not even anywhere back to where they were before Trump's tax cuts, but just a little bit so that they have to pay something right now while they're raking in immense profits and Americans are suffering and losing their homes. And we couldn't possibly lower prescription drugs, right? I've literally seen mainstream media talking about lowering prescription drug prices is just going to be bad for business. So I've got a couple examples here, the mainstream media not pushing back on some of these clowns that they've had on their airways. So Meet the Press, which back in the days when I would watch it with Tim Russert, that was like my Sunday. I loved Tim Russert. Here was a guy that didn't care if you were Republican or Democrat. He would ask you tough questions, and he was always ready for if you zagged, he zigged. He had questions and follow-ups ready to go because he wanted to get to the heart of the answer. He would not let you alone. In fact, John McCain, one time when he was on with Tim Russert on Meet the Press, at the end of the interview, I'll never forget this, said, thank you for coming. He said, well, that was like a prostate exam. Like, here's John McCain, former POW. Like, shot down. He had to answer some really tough questions. Like, Tim Russert did not let up on him. And at the end of the interview, he said, wow, that was like a full body cavity search prostate exam. I do. That was not fun. Because he had to answer tough questions. Meet the Press. Now it's a joke. Chuck Todd, who's in the tank. And then they invite this weekend, Meghan McCain, the daughter of John McCain, who former host of The View, to come on and get her perspective from Arizona about paid corporate lackey, corrupt Kyrsten Sinema. Senator Kyrsten Sinema from Arizona. So they get Meghan McCain, a Republican, to come on to talk about Democrat from Arizona, Kyrsten Sinema, who, by the way, we reported this week and we will continue to report, it's been taking money from these big companies and big pharma, and no wonder she's now anti-cheaper prescription drugs, wanting to vote against the larger $3.5 trillion stimulus package, wants a lower number, doesn't want to increase corporate taxes, all paid for by these industries. She's also the one, Kyrsten Sinema, who we told you this week, last summer, was an intern at a winery while she was senator, and then holding fundraisers for $5,000 a person at the same winery from big hedge funds and private equity firms. Like, talk about conflicts of interest, corporate lackeys. So let's get Meghan McCain's perspective. Let's get her erudite perspective on Kyrsten Sinema from the state of Arizona. Let's hear what she has to say about Kyrsten Sinema. Meghan McCain, formerly of The View, who is now on Meet the Press.
Kyrsten Sinema, I know you have a pretty good personal relationship. That's the frustration Democrats say is they don't know what Joe Manchin wants. They don't know what his bottom line is, and they don't know what her bottom line is. How would you describe it?
Well, I mean, politically in Arizona, I think that's why people like her so much. Just anecdotally, conservatives in my life really like her because...
First of all... you're not answering the question. Like, what is her bottom? Like, what is her top line number on the reconciliation? 3.5 trillion. They're just not really sure where she's coming in on that. Like, what's the number? Well, first of all, I just want to say in Arizona, you know, just anecdotally, first of all, anytime you have to couch something as anecdotally, that means that it only applies really to you in your little bubble, right? This is, first of all, she's not well liked. Her popularity numbers in Arizona are in the toilet. Good luck seeing if she's going to win re-election. So among your conservative little group in Arizona, like your little, you know, wine club moms, like you guys like each other. So you like Kyrsten Sinema. That's your thing you're bringing to meet the press. Okay.
As you know, she's holding the line for conservatives in a lot of ways. The question I always have is, for people like Joe Manchin, if it's not him, it's going to be a Republican. So this distaste and this, you know, outward hostility towards moderates in the Democratic Party surprises me.
Are you an idiot? I mean, really? So I don't understand this hostility towards these moderates. You know, if they're not electing a moderate, then it's going to be a Republican. Well, who cares in name? It's in name only. We know that Joe Manchin is essentially a Republican anyway. That's the point. Democrats aren't happy with what he votes on. Progressives aren't happy with what he's giving them. Why they continue to not vote for things that actually matter to the American people. I don't understand why they're disappointed. Because if it's not him, then it would be a Republican. Or maybe not. Maybe there would be an actual progressive candidate who cares about people. Maybe there is someone out there who's not Joe Manchin in the middle, who's basically a Republican. Maybe there is someone who's not Kyrsten Sinema, who used to be a Green Party progressive and maybe duped everyone into thinking that's what she was and wins election as a Republican virtually.
I also was shocked by seeing Senator Booker talking about sort of openly this distrust between progressives and moderates. How the Democratic Party ultimately threads the needle, I don't know. But I will say that President Biden ran on being a moderate, as you said. He ran and won with the help of independent, centrist, you know, Trump-wary Republicans. And he is not governing as one. The Build Back Better agenda is the most progressive, modern agenda of all time, up to $5 trillion. And it's not polling well. So
What? It's not polling well? Are you kidding me? How many polls have we showed you here on the show, the Quinnipiac poll and others, where the Build Back Better program and the $3.5 trillion stimulus is polling off the charts?
I think I'm just confused as why they're doubling down on something that is cratering in the polls right
now. Cratering in the polls right now. They're doubling down.
She's talking about the poll at her breakfast table when she asked the people that are there for breakfast.
Anecdotally, I asked my husband. And you know what? He just doesn't like that we're going to help people lower prescription drugs prices. He doesn't, you know, anecdotally, when I was at my wine club, my wine book club, where we like to read Reese Witherspoon books. We're so over the Oprah book club, but we do read the Reese Witherspoon book club. So when me and my wine moms get together, that's what we do. And we just don't support, we just can't believe that, you know, that Americans would want to, U.S. Americans would want to support $3.5 trillion stimulus package that would help Americans, would, you know, expand the ability for Medicare and Medicaid to, you know, negotiate lower prescription drug prices in a state that has a large elderly population in Arizona. Can't understand that. So everything that just came out of her mouth was a total lie. By the way, no one at the table, okay, this is NBC's flagship news program on Sunday. And Chuck Todd didn't push back at all on this. Didn't say, well, actually, no, it's polling very well. Just let her spew this garbage. Just allow her to spew other pieces of garbage about the Build Back Better plan being, you know, a waste of money. Talking about Kyrsten Sinema polling well, she's not. She's in the toilet in Arizona. So all of these things, no one just challenged her on that at all. Where's Tim Russert when you need him? that he's not, she's not the only one. So Fox News host Mark Levin, Levin is horrified that the new spending bills proposed by the Biden administration will actually help the American people and help American families instead of the rich. Like, I love that these shows, they literally will, I've seen Laura Ingraham's show do this, where they will sit there and they will literally put up on the screen a whole list of things that will actually help people, and they're just like shocked by it. And I think they think that their audience must be sitting there going, yeah, that's just how, they can't spend money like that. They really should only be spending money to help rich people. But he's horrified at all of the new spending bills proposed by Biden, and that it's going to help Americans instead of the uber wealthy. Mark Levin listed many of the things in the Build Back Better program and that he would address. So he runs. So imagine if you're watching his show and you're not brainwashed. OK, and you're sitting there and you're thinking, huh, I wonder what's in the Biden plan. Well, Mark Levin is going to give you the answer here. Watch.
Care. What else do they want to give? Free universal pre-kindergarten, free community college, free 12 weeks of family leave.
Oh, my God.
They want to extend the temporary child care credit with additional taxpayer subsidies for the rest of time. This is really considered a foot in the door for a minimum annual income that the government would pay people. Think about where we're going with all this.
Yeah, oh, my God. We're almost going to like to be a quarter of what they do in Nordic countries and take care of their people. We're getting close to actually taking care of our people. Just look where we're going with this.
They want to expand Medicare to include dental, vision, and hearing.
I love, by the way, Mark, you don't need to yell. My hearing is going. If I had Medicare that would expand to cover hearing programs, I might be able to fix that. But you don't need to yell.
Let's be real though. I mean, dental, vision, and hearing are, that's, who needs that, honestly?
Those are just bonuses, right?
That's luxury stuff.
Right. I mean, we don't need teeth. I mean, come on. You don't need eyes. You don't need to see. And you certainly don't need hear. So, you know, at least we still have our smelling, right? Smelling is maybe, I don't even know if smelling is covered, but.
Right. Well, you know, until the invention of smell-o-vision, he should probably be pushing for people to have vision and hearing, considering what he does for a living.
Because that's all he's just yelling at you. Yeah. Can you imagine? Look at this. Well, look what they're doing. They're going to expand Medicare to include dental, vision, and hearing. Well, how many of my audience right now, really, you want them to cover that?
Your Imperial Majesty, like she says, like, why would he sound disgusted? Like, why does he sound so disgusted? That's just it. I mean, like, why is this? It's like this horror show list of things he's putting up there that would actually help people. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's like, I just don't understand. He literally is yelling at his audience. I can't imagine. I mean, I guess he purports to be, you know, like a libertarian, but like, I don't understand it. I mean, I'm sure he's anti-war too, right? Like, so I'm sure the $750 billion we spend every year bombing other countries, I'm sure he's against that too, right? Funneling billions to Israel so they can build an Iron Dome. I'm sure that's fine too, right? So expand Medicare to include dental, vision, and hearing. That's crazy, these liberals.
And lower the age from 65 to 60. Meanwhile, the trustees for Medicare have said, hey, guys, we're going broke in 2 to 4 years. Does Congress care? No. What have they done about that? Nothing.
That's a lie. So again, how the mainstream media is lying to you. Like, if you're sitting there watching a show and you're sitting there going, oh my God, Medicare is going to be go under in 2 to 4 years. That's a lie. That's a lie.
Expand what's covered and expand the number of people who've covered. So those of you on Medicare, you're going to get whacked. What else does this bill do? It funds the Green New Deal, retrofitting buildings, subsidizing solar, wind, environmental justice and environmental equity, whatever the hell that means.
Well, why don't you look into it? Why don't you look into what that means? Whatever the hell that means. So I'm just against it. I don't even know what the hell it means. Well,
this is perfect.
How about this? How do you live downstream from one of these companies that, because of changes to the EPA under Trump, like, can literally dump a certain amount of chemicals that yes, they can get away with it, and it ends up like giving your family cancer? What about these fracking companies that destroy the groundwater near where you live, so you have methane coming up through your sink, and all of your water is filled with methane? How about that? You want to look some stuff up? Take some time, Mark. Look up what environmental justice and environmental equity means. How about Flint, Michigan? You know, where you have lead pipes, where kids are getting cancer from lead pipes. How about that? Why don't you look up some stuff? As Vernell in our chat says, what a doofus.
Exactly. Yeah.
Doofus is an underused word. I like doofus. I like doofus a lot.
Electric government vehicles tax so-called excess methane. That might be a problem for certain members of Congress. And carbon dioxide production, tax it. What are they going after? Meat, fossil fuels, and so forth. They want to...
Is that all? So what are they going after? They're going after your meat. They're going after the fossil fuels. So just think about that for a second. What is one of the most carbon-intensive industries in the world? It's the meat industry, right? It is pound for pound, incredibly wasteful, right? And not good for your body, by the way. But, you know, not to go off on a, whether you're vegan or vegetarian or meat eater, et cetera. But, you know, certainly reducing the amount of meat eaten and processed is much better for the environment, hands down, right? On top of that, fossil fuel industry. I mean, just look at how damaging fossil fuel burning vehicles and combustion engines are. So do we even need to have that debate anymore? So tax that. Push these companies towards carbon neutral positions and move towards solar and renewables, geothermal, etc.
Subsidized low-income housing. Gee, that's never been tried before. They want to create
So just because we tried it and it was a failure, we should just not try. Because we are facing a housing crisis in the United States. I don't know if FYI, where you live, Mark, like, I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure you're not worried about being able to pay your bills and being kicked out.
I'm pretty sure all he lives in the 50s.
He goes home, he's like, where's my dinner?
Yeah.
I'm going to get some food out of the icebox. Marge, don't make me come over there to the moon.
Sustainable housing. Public transportation. Boy, if that's not a black hole, I don't know what is. Rental assistance. Federal zoning. The suburbs. They're targeting you in this bill. What else?
Yeah, all you white people that live cleanly out in the suburbs, we're free of any people of color, they're coming for you.
The only thing he hasn't mentioned.
They're going to make the suburbs accessible to people of color. They're coming for you.
The only thing he hasn't mentioned yet is they're going to come take your guns, because right now he has your houses and he has your meat. So let's see if they're going to take your guns too.
A civilian climate corps. They want to indoctrinate and enlist in activism tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of young people to address climate change, whatever that means, this whole degrowth movement.
Yeah. Wow, really? Thank you for that. You gave me a pretty clear understanding of what's in this spending bill. So, wow. Fight for lower medical prescription drugs, expansion of Medicare to cover hearing, dental, vision. Wow. So that like maybe people could actually afford to get glasses. They could get their eyes checked. Like, for instance, my best friend from high school, I spoke to him the other day. As I mentioned, he had COVID last year. And his sight has never returned. Like he can't see anything up close. He can only see distance. And I asked him, you know, have you gone to a doctor since? He's like, no, I can't afford it. Like he couldn't like go to, I'm like an eye doctor because of COVID. He can't. Like in America, he can't go get his eyes checked. Maybe he needs a procedure. Maybe he needs an improved prescription. I don't know. But that should not happen in the United States of America. Dental? Unbelievable. Thank you, Brian Dickens says, Clayton, please check out Dr. Ken Berry here on YouTube. I think the plant-based agenda is very questionable. It's pushed by the mainstream media, isn't it? I think it's something you could exploit, check into. Brian, I'll look into that. Well, look, I mean, I've done stories on this, like, and this is one of the big issues around the Green New Deal, questions about the Green New Deal, as I've interviewed Howie Hawkins, who was the Green Party presidential candidate. How, you know, one of the big questions about the Green New Deal and the greening of our policies is you hope that then it's not the fossil fuel industry isn't replaced by equally damaging green companies, which purport to be green, but really are just as bad, if not worse, than some of these fossil fuel companies. It can be filled with a lot of sanctimony too. Like, you're against the Green New Deal? Well, actually, let's get into the details. What companies are benefiting from so-called Green New Deals? Like, what are they actually doing? Like, it's worth all of us as citizens, as journalists, to ask those questions. So, Brian, thank you for that. Great point. But anyway, back to Mark Levine. He's pretending that Medicare recipients, number one, are going to be taxed or something. Like, that's one of the things he's like, you're going to get whacked, is what he said. And what is true is that there is a solvency problem in Medicare because of COVID-19, a lot of expenditures, but Medicare is not going broke. Even according to Forbes, and I'll quote, one more thing to understand, according to Forbes, insolvency doesn't mean bankruptcy. It doesn't mean Medicare will stop paying beneficiaries' expenses altogether. Far from it. But he just goes on Fox and just spouts that. Makes it up. That's your mainstream media trying to encourage you to, you know, stand up against this infrastructure stimulus package that could help tens of millions of Americans remake our society as we know it. Yes, I'm sure there's plenty in there that's not great. But there's an overwhelming amount in there that would be transformative. Just take the child tax credit, which he immediately poo-pooed off the top, right? Like an expansion of a $3,600 for child tax credit to virtually help almost eliminate poverty at a certain level in the United States for thousands of Americans, millions of Americans. Just crap all over it. I'm Mark Levine. I live in a rich house, you know, big house, big neighborhood. Don't want the suburbs being corrupted by brown people. Let me know your thoughts on that in the comments.
Where are the masses of people in the streets demanding that the government stop helping us? Like, leave us be. Just stop helping us. You know, like, where is that anger coming from?
Yeah. It's coming from mainstream media talk show hosts.
Exactly.
You know, like, if you don't, you're not outraged unless you're, you know, I would never imagine going through a Target checkout line. You're talking to people and they're just having a conversation about like what's going on. You're like, you know, people are just too well off. They're just doing too well. You know, you at this Target here, you're probably making, I don't know, $22 an hour. You've got health care. You're taken care of. It's an outrage. The opposite is true. People are fed up. They can't make ends meet. They're working multiple jobs just to put food on their table. They don't have health care. They can't get vision coverage because they can't afford it. So they just walk around blind. It's ridiculous.
It is. What is their job if not to, what is the job of government if not to take care of the people? Mm-hmm. You know, and so
that is the whole job. That is the whole job. That is it. Full stop.
And so if they can't do that, then what exactly are they doing?
Well, I mean, big government continues to, you know, they just funnel money to people like Kyrsten Sinema, you know, keep things status quo. All they do is keep things status quo. That's what Joe Manchin, Kyrsten Sinema comes through once again for Big Pharma in this piece. Dark money group called Allies of President Biden released an ad last month thanking Kyrsten Sinema for pushing for lower prescription drug prices just before she told the White House that she would oppose Democrats' drug pricing plan. She'd previously campaigned on a pledge to reduce drug costs, but now, of course, she's gotten so much money from Big Pharma that she's now reversed course. That's surprising. Now she's earlier this month informed the White House she's opposing drug pricing plans. it was right after Big Pharma started running all kinds of television and radio ad campaigns calling her an independent voice for Arizona. They've spent $600,000 boosting Sinema on Arizona airwaves. So basically, they're putting commercials out all over Arizona saying, Kyrsten Sinema is a voice for change. She's an independent leader. What is she doing that's making a change? She's keeping prescription drug prices precisely where they are. Like, she's not helping people pay less for prescription drugs. So they're spending $600,000 on free television awareness campaigns. Do you think that that helps her or hurts her? It tremendously helps her win re-election, right? It's free advertising. Someone's going to spend $600,000 to get your face on television all over Arizona. You're going to take it if you're corrupt. So now she's threatening to tank both of these infrastructure packages. She's got so much money. Thanks, Kyrsten Sinema. If you're in Arizona, vote this person out for corruption. That's how it happens. You're watching it right before you, right before your eyes.
All right, so we seem to have lost Clayton. All right, everybody. Well, thanks for hanging out here at the end. And Clayton will be back tomorrow. Hopefully we'll finish up that story. And David may be back tomorrow. So it may be me. It may be David. You have to wait till tomorrow to see. So, all right, everybody. We will see you tomorrow at 9 a.m. Let's see. For me, it's 5 a.m. Yeah, so it would be Eastern time. So we started doing this at 6 a.m. Pacific. But all right, we'll see y'all tomorrow.